This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
4 o'clock hour on Hawk and Crowder on this President's Day. Josh Chappelle in for Hawk and Crowder. Steven Gonzalez in for Solana. Jimmy is in for Jimmy. Always good to see your face, Jimmy.
Thank you. Where is that Jimmy guy? He's supposed to be here.
No, I'm looking at you. You're here. I see you. Now, thanks to Antoine Staley of the New York Daily News for joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. I had told you that I had a friend who may also be me that had the over in the Canada-Finland game. And we were looking at a 4-1 game with like 4 minutes left. And guys, I am proud to say from both myself and my hypothetical friend, the over hit.
With ease.
5-3 final.
Yeah.
I mean, what an exhilarating final 3 minutes there in the Four Nations tournament with Canada and Finland. And Alexander Barkov helped us get there. Sam Reinhart had 3 assists. He helped us get there. And so, as thanks, it's time for a road to a repeat. And that's sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get the energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. So, Sam Reinhart, great game today. Alexander Barkov contributed a ton to Finland, but his time in the Four Nations tournament is over. And the championship game coming on Thursday, it'll be Canada and the United States. The U.S. game tonight against Sweden, not going to mean anything for either side. So it'll be interesting to see what that game ends up looking like. For the Panthers, their upcoming schedule, they get back at it on the 22nd. That's this Saturday, 6 o'clock against Seattle, and then a quick road trip to Nashville on the 25th before they come back home for a cup rematch against the Edmonton Oilers on the 27th. Fitting that in our road to repeat little segment here, we close it out with the Edmonton and the Panthers, the Edmonton, the Oilers, and the Panthers. They're going to match up here later this month in about 10 days. But the U.S. has a Four Nations gold medal or championship, whatever you want to call it, to win against Canada. They'll face off on Thursday night for the second time. And if it's anything like Saturday, we are in for a tremendous treat. And this game will be in Boston. So you've got one of the, how do I want to describe that fan base and that city? Well, Drew Carter's from there. So,
what's left from them?
There, but he works there now. So, I mean, that tells you all you need to know. Passionate. Let's go with passionate.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how the Boston crowd handles everything on Thursday night. It's also time for 15 Minutes of Heat, sponsored by Hollywood Kia. Get the star treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. We want to see you. and a Hollywood Kia, and you can shop online at HollywoodKia.com. So obviously Tyler Hero became the fifth Heat ever to win the three-point contest at the NBA Skills Challenge. Congratulations to Tyler. A cool moment for him. A cool moment to see him celebrating in the stands with Pat Riley. And, it, you know, I think that, and this is, you know, I know it's a hot take, but he has really taken an extra leap this year. Obviously, it's showed in his numbers, but I think there's a maturity level there, too, that we haven't seen from Tyler in the past. And I thought it was telling. He was asked about the Jimmy Butler situation at the All-Star game, and he took the high road. Called Jimmy a hard worker, a great teammate, all that stuff. And yet, he's on Twitter liking tweets about how Jimmy Butler is supporting his new teammates and something he never really did for Tyler Hero. So, hey, congrats to Tyler. First All-Star appearance. He makes the most of it with that three-point contest win. Really cool for the Heat. And if you were a Heat homer and you bet with your heart in that three-point contest,
you cashed.
You made yourself a nice chunk of change there.
I love that he beat Damian Lillard in this competition, too. He was part of the Lillard package that was supposed to head over to Milwaukee.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just a nice little cherry on top there.
And I do wonder what things would be like if that, you know, if Cronin wasn't such a jerk and they were able to work that out and Lillard comes down here. I wonder what the butterfly effect of that ends up being, at least for the Heat. I mean, it kind of blew everything up because once that didn't happen, Heat were just kind of caught with their, you know, hands in their pockets. Like, all right, I guess we're going to do this again.
Yeah, but we ran it back, and it, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like, this season hasn't gone the way that the Heat would expect it to, but if there's any bright spot, it would be Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero
this year. Oh,
absolutely.
First All-Star appearance. Yeah. Like, he's finally looking like the player they thought he was going to be, and I'm not sure that, like, look, it's hard to say that people are untouchable, but like I think at this point he might be in that, you know, rising to that category with the Heat, depending on what, you know, would have to be potentially.
Yeah, going back,
but I feel like he's a player now that you would want to team up with somebody else, not give up for somebody else.
Yeah, now that he has that maturity, like you said, it's another level. You see, after tough losses or even after wins, you'll hear Bam and you'll hear guys in the locker room, even Spo, talk about how vocal he was. He missed a game and he was like the biggest presence on the bench. That goes a long way.
So Ask Ira's column, our good friend Ira Winderman, in the Sun Sentinel, a couple of things here that I want to touch on. Somebody had asked him about Nikola Jovic. They say he's might be turning into Jaime Jaquez Jr. Ira said, agree that this third season hardly has been a linear climb. There have been moments when it appears Nikola Jovic has turned the corner. Then there are moments when he tries to do too much. The greatest peeve has been that Nikola does not play to his size, still with too much finesse when power and a few dunks are required. With so many of Jaime Jaquez Jr.'s struggles, it has been about his lack of size. Nikola has that size and does not maximize it. The Jaime Jaquez thing is super disappointing because I remember, only because in his rookie season, his point total props, man, if you were betting those every night, you were making some, again, a good chunk of change. And it just feels like he's falling off a bit of a cliff here. And as someone who seemed like he could be a really good role player for this team moving forward, he really hasn't turned into that. And then, all right, is Jovic going to be the guy that takes over an important role? And as Ira said, and people are starting to notice that that development hasn't exactly gone the way that maybe the Heat would like to see it.
It's hard to start categorizing like all Heat rookies together because they've had so much success lately in these draft picks. I also think that the way the team's going this year and the way adding Khalil Ware into the mix, it's really hard to find any form of like consistency, chemistry with these guys. Duncan Robinson will be on the floor for a couple minutes and then he'll pop out. It's just really hard to see any consistency with this team, and you're seeing it night in, night out with the scores. Like, we just can't get the ball going.
I'm glad there's two good segues because I'm glad you brought both those aspects up. You brought up Khalil Ware. Somebody asked Ira about Khalil Ware, and they say folks should slow down anointing him the next All-Star until his numbers equate with wins. Otherwise, they're empty stats. Like Eric Spoelstra's answer to the media's questions, contribute to wins. Ware will get there, hopefully, but don't crown him yet. Ira says, could not agree more, but the encouraging aspect with Ware is that he appreciates that as well, as he stated after Thursday night's loss in Dallas. This is not Hassan Whiteside constantly delighting in his statistics. This is a young player who appreciates that ultimate success comes through winning. And I think just from the starting point of how Ware's season started, where I remember texting Solana being like, man, did the Heat really screw up a first round pick again? Because here's Khalil Ware going down to the G League, and you got a couple of players after him that were drafted contributing to their NBA teams at the time. Is this another Tyrese Maxey situation that the Heat are going through? So the idea that Ware has improved his play so much to the point where he is one of the favorites for NBA Rookie of the Year, that has to be an encouraging sign. And then you brought up the offensive struggles for this Heat team. Somebody asked Ira Winderman about that. Taking a basic average of annual team offensive ratings for the Heat spread across Eric Spoelstra's entire tenure as coach is rudimentary, yet telling. Every coach has their weakness, and at this point, it's fair to say that offense has empirically not been a strength of his. Is there any acknowledgement of this from Spoelstra, the staff, or upper management? Can this be resolved by bringing in an offensive coaching talent akin to the NFL with an innovative offensive coordinator? Or does Spo not recognize this is a consistent issue that needs to be addressed? Talent plays a role, of course, but numbers don't lie, and the product on the court is undeniably mediocre. Here's what Ira had to say about that. With Eric Spoelstra, it has long been a case of so much focus on the defensive end that the hope is that the offense flows off the defense. And to a significant degree, it does when the Heat are creating turnovers and playing in transition. The problem has been half-court offense, which is exacerbated by the lack of a true point guard. Sort of how teams in football have passing game coordinators, it is almost as if the Heat, more than an offensive coordinator, need a half-court offense coordinator.
It does all start with the point guard, and that is definitely something that we've lacked. Just a guy that can handle the ball and create offense. That just hasn't been there.
And, you know, I think the Terry Rozier experiment, I think people are just about done with that. And it makes you appreciate some of the guys that they had in that role prior. I'm not saying that, like, hey, go out and bring Kyle Lowry back. But at least at a decent bit of the time that he was here when he was on the court, he provided you with that type of play that you'd want from your point guard. Not at the end, of course, but he was still a productive player majority of the time when he was down here with the Heat. All right, we got Kyle Seeloff, television voice of the Marlins for FanDuel coming up at 4:30. So let's get our headlines here in the 4 o'clock hour with Steven Gonzalez.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Tyler Hero won the three-point contest. He became the fifth Miami Heat player to win the contest. The last Heat player to win it was James Jones in 2011. Orlando Magic two-way guard Mac McClung, he becomes the first ever to win three consecutive slam dunk contests, scored a perfect score of 50 in all four of his dunks in the contest. He's starting to be in the discussion as one of the best dunkers of all time. Shaq and the OGs came out on top in the newest tournament format of the NBA All-Star Game, which saw a lot more other stuff than actual basketball being played. Steph Curry, he took home the All-Star Game MVP award for the second time in his career.
Love seeing him pull up from half court. That was really cool. I mean, look, the games themselves were not all that entertaining. Like, it's hard to get up for that. And I think I forget who said it, but was it Draymond, of all the things that he spews? I think he was right. It is kind of a touch ridiculous that the rising stars get a spot in the actual All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
I get that for the format they needed a fourth team, but I mean, that feels like a little much.
Yeah, he was the one who said that, and he put a lot of effort into being able to play on Sunday of All-Star weekend, and now it seems like anyone can play on Sunday.
But I want to get to this one more time. I read it earlier, but this again is the breakdown of time from the NBA All-Star game. All right, 42 minutes of actual basketball was played in the 3-hour All-Star game. Intro, including ads, a half an hour. Pregame talk, 10 minutes. Game one, Kenny versus Chuck, 12 minutes. The terrible but unfortunately entertaining Mr. Beast challenge took 5 minutes. I know you need some content between games. No harm, no foul. Game two, Shaq versus the Rising Stars, 16 minutes. Musical performance, 6 minutes. Inside the NBA tribute, 9 minutes. Game three, the championship, Chuck versus Shaq, 14 minutes. Post game, 6 minutes. analyst desk, game intros, segments, over 20 minutes, and then there were 80 minutes of total ads. So again, 42 minutes of basketball, and that time's not very good basketball during the NBA All-Star game. And, you know, the conversation will be had about how can the NBA fix it. Look at what the NHL has put together with the Four Nations, and that is all accurate right now. But I think people need to pump the brakes a little bit with what the NHL is doing. I think if you do the Four Nations tournament every year except Olympic years, I think over time it starts to lose its luster a bit, right? Like, what makes it special is that we haven't seen these players play for their countries in years. It's been a really long time. They did not play in the Winter Olympics last time around. I think if we maybe stagger it with the Winter Olympics and maybe not do it every year, I think this has potential to be a really cool long-term thing for the league. But if we start to do it every single season, I think it starts to lose its luster a bit if you're the NHL.
Can't agree more. Speaking of the Four Nations face-off, USA will take on Canada on Thursday after Canada's win over Finland, 5-3. That game is officially final. That game will take place at the TD Garden in Boston. Canes Hoops, they take on the Florida State Seminoles on Wednesday night, 9 p.m. You can tune into all the action right here on 560 WQAM starting at 8:30 on Wednesday. William Byron comes out on top in the Great American Race, winning back-to-back Daytona 500s. Yeah, a lot of torn-up race cars. He's now the fifth driver. Yeah, I'm a big NASCAR guy. Love NASCAR.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. I watch every Sunday.
Same.
Yeah?
It was the theme. Okay, all right, guys. I'm going to tell you something here, and I think I've revealed this on the show before, but the theme of the party for my bar mitzvah when I was 13, it was NASCAR.
Nice.
Each table was a different track, so like you were assigned to a track, and that'd be the table that you'd sit at. I gave away like checkered flag lanyards. There was a, I don't know if it still exists, if my mom still has it at her place, but there was a cardboard cutout with my face on Jeff Gordon's body in the fire suit.
I was Jeff Gordon like 4 years in a row for Halloween as a kid.
Oh, with the rainbow,
yeah,
with the rainbow fire suit?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I dressed up as a dude when I was younger. Jeff Gordon was my guy.
Yeah. William Byron, he becomes the fifth driver in NASCAR history to find victory lane in consecutive years in the Great American Race. Now time for your weather, sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. 76 degrees outside, 11-mile-an-hour winds, 69% humidity, and no chance of rain for the rest of the day.
All right, Kyle Seeloff, television voice. Jimmy heard it. Television voice of the Miami Marlins on FanDuel. He will join us next. Pitchers and catchers reported last week. Today was the first full squad workout under new manager Clayton McCullough. We'll talk to Kyle about that. Bruce Sherman, Peter Bendix both spoke today. We'll talk to Kyle about that as well. That's coming up next here on Hockman and Crowder on 560 WQAM.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys! Wow!
Hock and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to Hockman and Crowder. Josh Appel filling in for the guys today on President's Day. Steven Gonzalez in for Solana. Happy to be joined now by the new Marlins television play-by-play voice on FanDuel, Kyle Seeloff, a good friend. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Toyota of Hollywood. .com. Kyle, thanks for taking the time. It was fun to introduce you as the television play-by-play voice of the Miami Marlins. Does that sound odd to you as you do more of these and have that title?
It sounds very odd. Yes. But I'm excited. Who was I chatting with the other day? I did something with somebody the other day and they asked me about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm nervous, but in a good way, because you don't want to disappoint people that have stuck their neck out for you. So I'm excited about it, man.
You wouldn't be human if you didn't have some nerves, some right. good nerves going right. into it. I want to publicly give you your flowers because obviously it's very deserved.
I'm
obviously very happy for you. But I want to know, coming from radio to TV, the dress code's a little different. How many new shirt, tie, coat, suit, whatever combos have you had to buy in preparation for the season?
Sure. Great question. About 2.5 weeks ago, I accompanied a stylist to the Bloomingdale's at Aventura Mall. I had no idea what a Bloomingdale's was. I had never stepped foot into Aventura, let alone the Aventura Mall. Now, if that wasn't stressful enough, I go to check out with 6 sports coats, 6 shirts, 3 pairs of pants, and about a dozen ties. And I think the state's coming after me to put a lien on my house here, Josh. I'm in trouble, brother.
I just, you know, Kyle and I, obviously the last 4 years, and you know, I was a PA announcer. I would spend a lot of pregame in the radio booth. So we spent a lot of time together. And Kyle's the type that'll like, these pants on Amazon, I'm grabbing them. Oh, this coat on Amazon, I'm grabbing it. So the idea of Kyle Seeloff going somewhere with a stylist, it makes me smile so much.
Listen. I didn't know what a Bloomingdale's was. I thought maybe it was the same as a Macy's.
It's not.
And she says, try this
Julie
on.
Still exist?
Yeah. And but it was unbelievable. She's, you know, there's like a full rack of stuff because again, I don't dress extremely well. I will now. I will certainly look the part, but the whole point of hiring a stylist, they put a bunch of clothes on a rack, they make the process seamless. Yeah, I could wear purple and white and think I look great. I don't know what's in, I don't know what's trendy. She's like, throw this on. Oh, this fits great. This, you know, boy, this thing, if it, look at this sticker, and it's like, oh my God. My cat's going to go hungry. I can't afford cat food for a month.
Your cats might not recognize you when they see you on the TV. So just like that.
Gosh, it was something, but it's all part of it. I knew what I was getting myself into. I am excited. I am nervous because it is a huge step. And it's also just extremely different, as you know, having done both. So yeah, I'm pumped about it though, man. I'm excited to do it.
Last one, and then we'll get to the baseball stuff here. This might be too personal, so if you don't want to answer, that's fine. Was there a text or a call that you got after the announcement happened that you got the job that made you pause and go, wow, I can't believe this person just reached out to me about this?
Yeah, and we've been friendly now for a while because I've been with the Marlins since 2013, and I've done a little bit of everything going all the way back to helping broadcasters print stuff on a printer. And it was Gary Cohen, who really is my idol and somebody that I really look up to growing up in New York. You know, no secret, I grew up a Mets fan because I would listen to them on the radio. That was the team I could watch on TV, on DirecTV, right? You only got certain channels in your market, and that's what I fell in love with. But as I told Christina De Nicola a couple of weeks ago, I fell in love more with the broadcasters and the players. Of course, you love the teams, but like, I think all of us that have gone down the route of broadcasting, our fandom is a little different because at some point when you aspire to do this, you fall in love with somebody that's doing it and you still like the team. But for me, it was Gary Cohen, and just to have him reach out and congratulate me. I wrote him back a text that simply just said, I'll keep this short and sweet, but you'll never know how much this text means to you, me, because you are somebody that I've looked up to my entire life. And, you know, I'm living a charmed life, dude. I think we all are that are doing this. I think there's an expiration on it for everybody, but I don't know, just to get that text, you know, 15-year-old me 20 years ago would have never comprehended that. I think that's what strikes me the most. So that was incredible, dude.
I love that so much. And now, hey, you get to be the guy eventually that someone who's turning the game on mute, no offense to you, but calling it themselves, maybe down the line, you're the guy they grow up with. And, maybe exactly. You're sending that text someday, which is really cool. I love that for you. Let's get to baseball.
Sure.
First day, full squad camp. Everybody was there. Mm-hmm. No visa issues, no any extracurriculars. Everybody's in attendance. Perfect attendance on Clayton McCullough's first day holding a full squad workout up there in Jupiter. Just generally speaking, what were the vibes like there? I mean, you were obviously there last week too with pitchers and catchers. What's been the vibe here in the first week and a half of Clayton McCullough?
It's been light. It's been very new is not a vibe, but understanding of where they are and what's transpired over the last 4 to 5 months, you really can feel a sense of change, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But things just look different. They feel different in a good way, not in a bad way. Wasn't bad the old way, but generally speaking, when you hire a new manager and the entire coaching staff outside of one individual is new, there's new thoughts, new processes that are being put in place, and it just all looks and feels a little different. It really excites me, but I think probably the first week and change of spring training is fitting exactly what you'd like, and that's a relaxed, comfortable environment. These 6 to 7 weeks ramping up for baseball season can be really long. It can be really stressful if it's too serious, and guys can get worn out really quickly before they even strap it up for 162. So the vibes themselves have been very, very good, but I would say in 29 other camps are also very good right now.
You haven't had much time yet with him. You'll spend a lot more time with him, of course, as the season gets going, but I'm sure you've interacted a little bit just from those interactions. As you pointed out, not different in a bad way, but you know, what are some of the differences between a guy like Skip Schumacher, a guy like Clayton McCullough? I know the knowledge base on what Skip's like is a lot more vast than Clayton, obviously, but just from your conversation so far, you know, how are they different? What does Clayton bring to the table here?
I think the huge difference that I've seen between the both of them, Josh, is the level of intensity that each one of them brings. I think everybody ticks a little bit differently. I think managers are all very, very different in their own respect, and they just go about things in a very different manner. I think you would attest from being around Skip for a couple of years, there's a level of intensity. It's mm-hmm. very intense. It's all the time. They're great. Goodness, it's awesome. I think that's amazing. You know, what they were able to do in 2023, and unfortunately things didn't go the way they wanted last year. To me, Clayton McCullough is on the entire different end of the spectrum, which is also awesome. It's very laid back. It's very relaxed. It's very calm. So, and you know what? I'm excited to work with Clayton. I think he's a great human being. I think he's just a baseball guy. At his core, he's just a baseball guy, and he is the manager, but he'll still grab a fungo and hit ground balls, and he's going to go out there and teach base running, which was one of his specialties with the Dodgers. He's largely responsible for making the Yankees look silly in the World Series last year, and this is a team going into 2025 that's going to have to rely on winning on the margins, and what can you do better than the other team that maybe doesn't stick out to the common fan, but that will help you win games. And that's, to me, it's running the bases. It's playing really, really good defense. So back to your original question, though, if you talk about Skip and Clayton specifically, two very, very different individuals. They're going to go about it two different ways, but I think both are great at what they do.
Both Bruce Sherman, team owner, and Peter Bendix, president of baseball operations, spoke to the media today. What did you make of their comments? I know sometimes these press conferences, you know, they don't really say a lot. It's just kind of, you know, the generic questions you normally hear. But there were a couple of interesting quotes, I thought. You know, obviously, offseason transactions outside of, you know, Cal Quantrill recently, which we can talk about in a little bit, seems like a solid signing for the Marlins. But outside of that, there weren't any major league contract signings in free agency. We obviously know about the Jesus Luzardo trade, the Jake Berger trade. But as far as acquisitions go, there wasn't much really outside of Cal Quantrill. If you want to count Eric Wagaman, there just wasn't much there. And Bruce Sherman today talked about how, you know, you can't just expect us to go out. I'm paraphrasing here, but you mm-hmm. can't just come out and sign every free agent. You can't expect that. We like what we have. And then we'll get to, I want to ask you about that first and then talk about an interesting quote from Peter Bennett. So what did you make of Bruce's comments this morning?
Yeah, that's a good question. I will say, in whole, when listening to Bruce talk this morning, I felt maybe a sense of urgency would be the right word. I felt a sense of conviction. I thought it was interesting that Bruce flat out came out in a good way and said, you know, we're going to win a lot more games than people think. He noted that this is a team he feels is faster and they're going to defend better. He mentioned that he feels like they're developing players at a rate that he has not seen in 7 years. So I did feel a sense of conviction, to be honest with you. And, you know, to the additional comments to the questions about free agent signings and all of that stuff, is there an expectation they're going to go out and sign everybody? No, that's the expectation for every other team. I know every fan base wants them to do that. Was it a very quiet winter? Yes. Is there things, in my opinion, or not my opinion, but others' opinion, that they could have done to better the team? Yes, maybe. But I go back to what I've said all winter, Josh, and I know that we have discussed this before, like sitting in the booth. The Marlins are in a position where if you go fill a position for a year or two now, what is that ultimately doing for you down the road? When you take a look at the big scope of this, what they're ultimately trying to do, that is draft, develop, and trade. So if you plug and play a guy that might be better than the guy you have now for 2 years, what does that ultimately do for you down the road? They are truly in a position, and 2025 is going to be an interesting one. Guys are going to get a lot of runway to see if they're capable of proving themselves, that if they're a part of this thing moving forward. So I totally understand the free agent question. I totally understand the frustration in regard to them not going out and spending more money and signing these guys. But I would just come back, and my side of it would be, who did you want them to sign? How long did you want them to sign them for? And if it's a short-term deal, does that ultimately help the organization moving forward? In my opinion, the answer is no, because you need to see what you have in a lot of these young kids.
You know, I wonder too, Kyle, if there's, I don't know if gun shy is the right way to phrase it, but when you see some of the signings that they have made and some of the money that they've had to eat as a result of those signings, mm-hmm. I do wonder if some of that's at play with, well, number one, if they weren't paying out a guy like Avi Garcia, maybe that's money they could go out and spend. Number one. Number two, maybe they don't want to get into a situation like that again, where they're having to DFA a guy and just eat that contract Gene Segura, another example of that. That was a little while ago, but I wonder if maybe that is at play. I mean, you could obviously speak to it better than I can, but I have to imagine it's only natural for that to be part of the equation, no?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair question. Obviously, working with Peter Bendix now for a few seasons, you see the vision in place. I think there's a general understanding that he's coming from an organization in the Tampa Bay Rays that didn't never really do that, right? In fact, it was the total opposite. It was in year two or three of arbitration, we're going to sell this guy at the peak of his value. They made that work. So it to me, and I think you bring up a fair point. I do think there's probably some uneasiness that, you know what, man, it hasn't worked. That's only human nature. If I was in those shoes, mm-hmm. you'd be like, geez, if we're going to give out a contract, number one, I think it would have to be longer term because I don't know what a short-term deal does with a guy right now. I don't know if it ultimately helps you down the road given like the steps they're taking now to get where they ultimately right. want to go for sustained consistency. But, you know, I just think that the plan that's in place, you're just not going to see that long-term deal. Now, if in 2 years, if, you know, I know Sandy Alcantara was brought up today and the comment was made that he is a Marlin right now. We cannot speak to the future. Sandy is a Marlin. Bruce had commented that he is our franchise. Are they going to trade him? I don't know. Obviously, the public believes that they will. If they don't, is he a long-term candidate? Maybe so. Maybe that would be a perfect start with this whole thing that they're trying to mm-hmm. do. Maybe he would be the perfect candidate to sign a 5 or 6 year deal. I don't know. But I think there's a lot at play, if that makes sense.
No doubt. And that's the one Bendix quote from today that everybody's talking about.
Sure.
And just references Sandy Alcantara. And I'm glad that you brought up the fact that, you know, you understand the fan perspective sometimes, but there is a flip side to it. As great as Sandy Alcantara is and how much all of us would love Sandy Alcantara to be a lifetime Marlin, when unfortunately you're in the position of having to rebuild an entire team again, right? Mm-hmm. Sandy can go out there once every 5 days and shove and have a Cy Young season, and they can win 70 games and miss the playoffs. And so really, could you get more value out of him from that? Or maybe you use that to kind of retool a bit in other areas. And I would imagine, as you said, the Rays model is essentially, you know, Sandy's, you know, hopefully going to come back and pitch well coming off Tommy John, but also have insanely high value on an affordable contract. Business-wise, baseball-wise, it kind of makes sense if you're not a team that like is a Sandy Alcantara away from being a playoff team.
Well, and here's the other thing to that, and we can take it a step further. Number one, every player that gets to the major leagues, their dream is to get the free agency. And that's every player's right if they do that. Sandy is now 2 years away. He's a free agent after 2026. In my opinion, number one, if he pitches really well this year and next year, Josh, I think he's a $250, $300 yep. million dollar player. He's
totally possible.
He's yep. a Cy Young Award winner. That's a guy that could make, you know, $25 million a year.
Who's already had the big arm surgery, by the
way. He's already had it.
Yeah.
Right? So now you're talking about a new lease on life and a decade on that elbow, probably. You know, there's an expiration date on those surgeries, but it's generally not for a decade or so. And who knows, the way Sandy takes care of himself, you know, that thing's going to hold up a while. And again, this comes back to what we've talked about with the Marlins. If you have a player and you don't trade him and that player goes to free agency and is going to command $200, $250 million, are the Marlins going to swim in that pool? And I think you would initially say, no, I don't foresee them swimming in that pool. Because once you're one of those teams that starts diving in that deep end, a lot of those teams, their way to stay consistent year in and year out is to sign guys for $10 million a pop, $20 million a pop. That's their model to winning. That's not the Marlins model to winning. And to your point, from a baseball standpoint, if he's pitching his tail off, regardless of what position the Marlins are in this summer, if the Padres or whoever's loaded in terms of prospect talent comes knocking on the door.
The Marlins basically have the Padres' entire prospect system.
Right. I think the Padres are done. They're at the bottom. I don't know what prospects they have left. The Marlins have them all. But the question becomes, if you're about to raid somebody's farm system, and you're doing it the Marlins way, to me, you trade Sandy because you're trying to turn one really good player into, say, six prospects, hit on three of them, hold on to those three, and that becomes the Rays model. They become really good big leaguers. In second, third year of arbitration, you trade those players for 3 to 4 more players. And that is how you continue and create the sustained success. It's not a model that works for everybody. It worked in Tampa. Peter knows the model. The Mets and the Phillies and the Braves model and the Dodgers model is $500 to $600 million. That's not for everybody, but there's different ways to win. So from a baseball standpoint, it would be very hard to blame them if at some point they trade Sandy and flip Sandy into five or six really good prospects. You hope you hit on half of them.
You know, it's the trade-off, right? Because if you ask people in the Marlins fan base, hey, do you want to be in contention for a playoff spot and a playoff run every year? You win 85, 95 games, but you're not going to be able to get attached to any of these guys. Like, is that trade-off worth it? And to me, I'd rather see the consistent winning and as opposed to spending all that kind of money. I do want to, since you brought it up, though, that group of teams, the big spenders in baseball, there's a lot of talk this offseason. Maybe not about a salary cap, but maybe a salary floor. Would you be in favor or support something along those lines in the next CBA? Because, I mean, look, it feels like we're in for a doozy of a negotiation when that's up here in a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, I think logically speaking, they're headed towards another shutdown. I think there's going to be another strike. I don't know for how long. I mean, baseball is a sport where I don't want this to come across poorly, but if you go back to the early 2000s, the NHL had their chance to institute the salary cap. They got it, what they believed, all under control. Once it got out of control, or whatever the right word is in baseball, there's no reeling that in. The Players Association will never agree to a salary cap. You have guys getting $750 million contracts. The question I think really is going to have to fall on, is there a salary floor? If there is, what is that minimum spend to try to create more parity in the sport? But then you hear that and you take a look at the last 10 years in terms of World Series winners, it's not the biggest spenders every year winning. That's the beauty of baseball. So, you know, that's the argument to be had. The Dodgers have been spending money now for 5, 6, 7 years. They've won it twice, the cheapie in COVID, and then last year where they deserved it because they were the best team in baseball. Like, different teams can win it. The beauty of baseball is you have the wild card round, which, you know, that's crazy in and of itself. And then everybody's playing in a divisional round. And if you get two really good starts and you win two games in a series, you know, who X team can beat the Dodgers because, well, you stole two games because you pitched your tush off and now you're about to knock them out. That's the beauty of baseball. So I know that's long-winded, but the salary, I don't see a world where anybody agrees, the owners agree to a salary floor and the players were to agree to a cap.
Right.
Something's going to have to happen somewhere else to get them to where they ultimately want to go, because the hard salary cap or hard salary floor, I don't think is going to fall for either side, in my opinion.
You mentioned one of Bruce's comments today, just about how he thinks that this team is going to be a little bit better than people are expecting. And I actually happen to agree with him, because I think a lot of the young talent, maybe not name, doesn't have the name recognition, but they are talented players. So again, I'm not going to sit here and predict that they're going to go to the postseason or anything, but I get the feeling that, like, if they're somewhat healthy, they have a chance to be a lot better than some folks think. So with that in mind, who are a couple of the guys that maybe fans aren't really all that familiar with that you're really excited to see get an opportunity over a full season to try and, you know, be a regular contributor to a major league team?
Yeah, well, let me start here. I know we only have a couple of minutes. If the 26-man roster that's projected on Fangraphs right now in the regular season started today, Josh, the Miami Marlins would have 7 waiver claims on their 26-man roster. That's 4 more than the Atlanta Braves, the Detroit Tigers, and Seattle Mariners for anybody in baseball. Marlins also have the most Rule 5 selections in all of baseball. The reason I bring that up and the reason that I believe that this team will be better than last year, I don't know about the win-loss record. I think they're going to be fun to watch, because when you just talk about waiver claims alone, it's guys that have been doubted at other stops along their journey, and they're hungry to prove something. So I think mistakes that are made this year will be done at 100 miles an hour. Young guys are hungry. They are professional athletes. They know when they're being doubted. Some teams will say, we don't think about it, we don't read it. Okay, everybody's got a phone. I got the iPhone 15 Pro, baby, and that internet works good. And you can tell that everybody touts them. It's pretty easy to see how everybody thinks you're going to do. All right. So from that standpoint, I think you have so many young, hungry players that are looking to prove themselves. I think that's number one why they're going to be better. Other guys I'm really excited to watch. I'm excited to see what Dane Meyers can do. Obviously, the self-inflicted foot injury in Cincinnati last year. Matt Mervis is a total wild card. Jonah Bride was a guy everybody laughed at that last year, and all he did was hit down the stretch. He's not the most like appealing player on paper and this crazy sprint speed and all that stuff from the position player standpoint. I think those are a few guys to watch. You know, in outside of that, I think Max Meyer's going to have a great year. He's added a couple of different pitches. And then you've kind of got, you know, the Adam Majors and the Robbie Snellings in the world ready to knock on the door. So I just think they're going to be fun. They're young, dude. Two players. And now Cal Quantrill in the mix. Two players that are 30 years old on this team. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch them for that reason. I love watching young, hungry players. I mean, Xavier Edwards, Connor Norby, like the left side of that infield's got some real potential down here for a long time. Last thing before I let you go. Last thing. You mentioned you're a Mets fan growing up, which means you're also a Jets fan. We talked to Antoine Staley last hour about the quarterback situation. Really quickly, Kyle Seeloff, the Jets fan, who's taking the first snap at quarterback week one of the regular season in 2025?
I would love to see a resurgent Sam Darnold come home. I still have I told you this before. I'm going to make this very quick. When we were in New York City in 2018, the morning after, I sat in my hotel room. Marlins were on the road. I watched Darnold on Monday Night Football against the Lions. I thought the guy was going to the Hall of Fame. I was ready to give him his jacket. I went and bought the New York Post the next day. It's upstairs in my spare bedroom. I thought the guy was a gold jacket guy. Darnold's coming home. We're going to win the Super Bowl next year.
I love it. Kyle Seeloff, he is the new television play-by-play voice for the Miami Marlins for FanDuel. Kyle, when is the first spring training broadcast for you guys?
My first one will be the 17th, then the 18th and 20th. So not a month from today, actually.
Awesome. Well, we cannot wait to watch. As a friend, I am incredibly happy for you, and I can't wait to watch it. You are going to do an amazing job bringing Marlins baseball into everyone's homes for hopefully a long, long time to come. Kyle Seeloff, thanks as always for your time. I appreciate you.
Thanks, brother. Chat soon.
Back with more Hawk and Crowder after this.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Baseball.
Hawk and Crowder.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.